Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I was supposed to be joined by a guest to break down the Lakers options here now that they have two roster spots and a little bit of wiggle room underneath the hard cap. But some things fell through, and that's not actually going to work out. That's still going to be the subject matter for this episode. I am going to discuss the Lakers waiving Quinn Cook, and I am going to discuss their options given those two roster spots and when they could make some of these changes, what that might look like. And then at the end of the show, I want to give a shout out because Julius Randle made an all-star team, and the Lakers core, if you look across it, the young Lakers core from back in the day, you have all-stars in D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, and Julius Randle now. Jordan Clarkson is probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year. You have role players across the league, whether it's Zubats, Nance, Kuz, AC, Hart, Lonzo, Mikhailis Felix, Sfi is still out there doing his thing. Thomas Bryant got hurt but was playing pretty well there. Mo Wagner has stepped up in his place. You have David Nwaba out there as well. So I kind of want to look back and discuss why it's okay to look and be proud at what some of those young guys have gone out and done across the league. And then also enjoy the fact that the Lakers won a championship last year and are set up really well to do so again this year. So that'll be in the third segment. Let's start, though, again with that news that dropped literally on the air while Pete and I were recording. Shams Charania first reported that the Lakers were going to waive Quinn Cook, and then obviously a whole bunch of reporters confirmed it afterward. Dan Wojcicki, I believe, of the LA Times reported that it's unlikely the Lakers are going to sign DeMarcus Cousins. So some good news, depending on your analysis of him as a player at this point on that front. And that leaves the Lakers with a little bit of flexibility here. It's going to be interesting to see whether they wait this out, and if things, you know, we're going to get a pretty, I think, ugly and rude awakening in this next game against Utah. I don't anticipate that's going to go particularly well or be very pretty at all. So I wouldn't draw too many conclusions from that because of the circumstances. But let's say Dennis Schroeder comes back, and let's say the Lakers get through the All-Star break and things still aren't looking considerably better than they've looked over these last five games or so. I do think Rob Pelinka goes out and makes some kind of an acquisition, whether that be somebody who's presently available on the free agent market, which I'm just going to warn you guys, we're going to go over some names here in a bit. Those pickings are pretty slim. Or whether it's on the trade market. And again, the Lakers have some, you know, a little bit more flexibility now, but still not a ton. And some of the asking prices, I think we're going to be kind of surprised what they are going to be because of the circumstances and the way that the playoffs are now formatted. Let's dive into the first option here, the most painless option, in terms of machinations across the roster and what the Lakers might be able to do, and just look at available free agents on the market right now. I think the easiest position to fill right now is just a large human being who can stand in front of the basket and deter players from driving there. And you know, because any kind of wing, you know, 3-and-D type player, they're going to be signed right now. That's just going to be how it goes. Andre Roberson was out there for a little while, and the Brooklyn Nets waived him, but then I believe promptly re-signed him to a 10-day contract. I think he winds up sticking it out there in Brooklyn. So I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to go out and find a wing right now. If they do want to inject a little bit of energy on the wing, I would like to see McKinney out there, Alphonso McKinney, just thrown out there and see how things could go. He can't look much more lackluster than we've seen in minutes from Wesley Matthews over the stretch and even Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, just somebody out there who hasn't played basically a year and a half straight of basketball. But in terms of bigs that are on the market right now, I'm going to warn you. I've warned you now. This is the second warning. The names are not great. You have Dragan Bender out there. Tyson Chandler is out there. I believe he retired, though. Dwayne Dedmon is out there. Thon McCur is sitting out there. Tyler Zeller, John Henson, Scott Labissiere, Jan Mahimi, Joakim Noah, Ante Zizek, and names like that, right? That you have Henry Ellison, and from there you start getting into smaller players who don't really do anything that you need these guys to do. Kyle O'Quinn, guys like that, and Jordan Bell is out there on the market. At one point, somebody who, or a lot of people, NBA Twitter hipsters, was telling me it was unfair that Jordan Bell was on the Warriors there for a bit. And I believe the Lakers waived him, so they couldn't even bring him back if they wanted to. So as you just saw there, given some of those names, if the Lakers want immediate help, it's not great. And I would say if they do pick up some immediate help, it's probably going to come in the form of a 10-day contract to a bigger player who can just literally get them to the All-Star break. And if that is the route that they go in, don't expect a life changer there. that's what I'm going to say. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we'll look at some of the trade options that the Lakers have and whether that is a more feasible or practical direction that the Lakers could go in. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra. And this week's Ultra Player of the Week is going to be... Oof, man, it's been a rough week around the Lakers, right? This week's Ultra Player of the Week, I guess, is going to have to be Kyle Kuzma. He continues to play as hard as anybody on the Lakers, even given the fact that they are in one of the tougher stretches that they're going to face all year. So in that regard, I would probably say that he has brought me more joy than any other player on this Lakers roster. Low bar, I know. But I would say that you know, for all of the things that Michelob stands for, right, bringing joy, happiness, enjoyment, he has played with a lot of that this season, and it hasn't really let up, even while things around the Lakers have reached kind of, for a lot of people, breaking points, or small ones, that albeit. And I got to appreciate the fact that he is trying to continue that amount of energy and positivity and continuing to play with that joy, happiness, and enjoyment that Michelob is looking for in their Ultra Players of the Week. And so that's who I'm going to go with. Reminder that the Michelob Ultra has 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. And I'm just going to tell you right now that when you drink something like that, that obviously brings you the warm fuzzies that beer can bring you, and you know that it's not wrecking your insides, it makes you feel that much better about that moment. Michelob Ultra is constantly asking, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? And I gotta say, when the Lakers are playing at their best and Kuzma's playing at their best and they're winning, it's because he brings that joy. So it's really fun to watch when he's got it going. Let's just get back on track here and bring that joy back to the game. So we talked at the end of the last segment about the options that the Lakers might have in terms of players currently available and whether anybody in that list might be worth a 10-day contract. Personally speaking, I don't think we've reached such dire situations, but I could see why the Lakers might go in that direction. The next kind of thing that the next option that they have, they could either wait for players to get bought out or start hitting the trade market. And I do want to say that this year's trade market and this year's buyout market are going to be pretty rough, I think. We'll be kind of surprised. Let's start with why I think the trade market is going to be rough. And it has everything to do with this new format that the NBA has adapted, where you have 10 potential playoff teams at the end of the season, right? You have the 7 and 8 seeds taking on the quote-unquote 9 or 10 whatever seeds, whatever you want to call them, in that play-in tournament to get into the postseason. And I would just say, you know, not only does that mean that there are two fewer teams that might be looking to sell off pieces or buy out veterans, and two fewer destinations that those vets could maybe target as potential playoff, you know, spots that they could show their abilities in postseason type play. That it's not just that there are two extra teams. It means that there are that many more teams that feel that they might be able to sneak into a couple of those spots. You look at the standings right now in the NBA, and here in the West, it's really complicated, right? You have in the 7 and 8 spot, you have the Denver Nuggets and Golden State Warriors. The Nuggets are 16 and 14, and the Golden State Warriors are 17 and 15. But then you look right below them, you have the Dallas Mavericks sitting at 15 and 15, the Memphis Grizzlies sitting at 13 and 14, New Orleans sitting at 13 and 17, and Sacramento sitting at 12 and 19. The only teams that I would say are really going to fall off here, maybe Sacramento is one of those squads that falls off just because of everything going on there. But then you have Oklahoma City, you have Houston, you have Minnesota. Those teams certainly are going to be on the outside looking in. But because you only have four teams there in the Western Conference, and you look over here at the East, and it's even more jumbled, right? You have at 7 and 8, you have the New York Knicks at 15 and 17. Chicago is at 14 and 16. So is Charlotte. They're also at 14 and 16. Miami is 14 and 17. And Atlanta and Orlando both have 13 wins apiece there. So that means the only teams that are not within a game or two of the 7 and 8 spots are the Washington Wizards, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Detroit Pistons. So that means in the entire NBA, you're going to be looking at 7 total teams, right? Washington, Cleveland, Detroit, maybe Sacramento, Oklahoma City, Houston, and Minnesota that are going to be just bona fide sellers at the deadline. And if there are only 7 teams and 23 playoff teams that might be looking to upgrade, well, that's what we would call a seller's market, right? And I think that's basically what not just the Lakers are going to run into as they wait for guys to potentially be bought out. But why would you buy anybody out if you might be able to net yourself something as little as a conditional second rounder someday, right? Why not sit on that player and see if you could maybe net yourself a highly protected first rounder, depending on the player that you're trading away? Why not sit on that player and see what happens here? Can you get even more financial flexibility by moving that player? And what the Lakers are going to be faced with now is they have a more immediate need right now because of Anthony Davis's injury. And that immediate need means they might have to pay more for a player on an already potentially inflated market. So all this is to say that even though the list that I just gave in the first segment is disappointing, depressing, whatever word you want to use for it, trading for somebody might be impractical. And waiting for some kind of a buyout here, that buyout might never happen because of how few teams are going to be just completely out of the playoff picture by the end of I guess next month, and how many teams are going to be vying for the services of any player who might be seen as available. Now, I did talk about bigs in the last segment who are currently available, but I guess it's worth kind of looking at players in that 6'8" to 6'6" range, right? So starting with unless you're way into I don't even know what it would look like. Marvin Williams retired, so I don't think he's really an option. DeMar Carroll might be out there, though I believe he might be on somebody's team. And then from there it's like Mario Hezonja. You have Cam Reynolds, you have Anthony Tolliver, you have, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is sitting out there somewhere, and just Thabo Sefolosha, Evan Turner. Evan Turner retired. Justin Anderson, if you want to buy low on somebody, Alan Crabb maybe. And this is all to say, Rondé Hollis Jefferson, like all of these players, they're available for a reason. And they come with major holes. And you know, in the case of Rondé Hollis Jefferson, he's a decent enough defender. He's a good athlete, might inject some energy, but he also can't shoot worth a lick. Same goes for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, right? Same kind of thing where he might solve one of your problems, but then creates another problem. And what the Lakers definitely don't need, given the dire situation that their shooting is in right now, the dire straits that their shooting is in right now, you can't really add a Michael Kidd-Gilchrist to the roster and have it really help you in any significant way. So I honestly think what the Lakers' best move here is probably to just see what kind of help they can get from within. Can Devontae Kaycock step up and provide you just a little bit more energy so that you don't have to play Marc Gasol for, you know, 27 minutes on any given night? Can Alphonso McKinney step in and get out and run the break a little bit more effectively than Wesley Matthews has? Can, you know, before you go out there and you acquire some of these players in free agency, then why not see what you have already in-house? Because, you know, you look at the Lakers roster itself, and while there are certainly players that we're kind of frustrated with, it's difficult to find deals of with guys in their kind of price range that would actually help. Because remember, you know, we bragged at the beginning of the season, and this is still, by the way, a great thing for the Lakers. We bragged at how many players signed below market value. And that's great when everybody is healthy and everybody is slotted into their more typical roles. But when you have quite a few players signed below market value, and what you need to be able to do is match salaries, you wind up moving minimum player for minimum player. And because the Lakers guys are below market value or signed below market value, you're probably going to be trading a better player or a more talented player for somebody who's making the same amount of money for them somewhere else. You know, and that's not something that the Lakers particularly want to do. Just look at their contracts right now. So of players that I guess you'd be quote-unquote okay moving, Wesley Matthews, he's making $3.6 million. That might get you something, but probably not. You have, again, McKinney is making 1.7. Markieff is making 1.6. Dudley is making 1.6. They already waived Quinn Cook, and THT is making 1.5. So even if you want to include, you know, if you want to combine THT as a trade chip to get you a really good player, you now have to make up for whatever is left in combining that contract with somebody else to get somebody in that, you know, whatever range that most useful players typically sit in. And that usually starts at like $6 or $7 million a year. So the Lakers just don't have very much flexibility right now on their roster financially to be able to bring in the kind of immediate help that might help you, not just right now, but also might be able to play in certain situations in the postseason. So, you know, I know it's really easy to say, just bring in somebody, I don't care who it is, ship out somebody, I don't care who it's for, I just can't watch so-and-so play anymore right now. And that's all fine, and it's an emotional response. And honestly, there are moments where I'm saying that. Just get so-and-so out of my life, for the love of God. But then you kind of realize what that would mean and how complicated some of that gets and how quickly it becomes so complicated. And you wind up finding out that it's not the net positive than you might think in that immediate moment. All right, let's go ahead and take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you guys about the Julius, give shout-outs and high fives to Julius Randle, and then extend that conversation out into the rest of the Lakers young core that helped get the Lakers to this spot in the first place.
March Madness is a few months away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the Year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now. And it is the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day, basically. I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go, always have some errand to run or something to ride or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to builtbar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. All right, so Western and Eastern Conference All-Star reserves were announced. Anthony Davis made the list, but obviously he isn't going to be able to play, so he'll be replaced by somebody. And, you know, that's I guess, all of the extent to which the Lakers factor into this All-Star conversation. But in terms of immediate actual Lakers right now. But one guy who did make it, and a lot of Lakers fans are really happy to see that, was Julius Randle. He has played phenomenally well for the New York Knicks. I believe they announced that he was an All-Star, and he addressed the crowd and all of that, and I believe got some MVP chants from the few stands that were there at Madison Square Garden. Obviously, probably a really cool moment for him. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, you look back at the core that the Lakers had, you know, that they at once held because of their attempt at rebuilding through the draft, and you have D'Angelo Russell, who made an All-Star team and got the Brooklyn Nets to a, you know, kind of unexpected playoff run. Wow, excuse me, almost dying. You have Brandon Ingram, who in his first season with the New Orleans Pelicans made an All-Star team last year. You had Julius Randle, obviously, as I just talked about, make it to an All-Star team this year. Right now, for the Utah Jazz, you have Jordan Clarkson killing it off the bench, and he's been, it's one of the oddest pairings, honestly, in the history of basketball, Jordan Clarkson being popular in Utah, but he is, and he's playing really well, and he's probably going to win himself a Sixth Man of the Year award this year, and that's, you know, guys who have actually, you know, added stuff to their resume or might add stuff, in, you know, in the near future to their resume. And then you look across the league, and obviously here in LA still you have Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, who have won a championship and played big roles or vital roles on those teams or on that team. And then you look at Larry Nance Jr. and what he was doing in Cleveland. Not only is he a fan favorite out there, but he's one of that team's most impactful players. You have Lonzo Ball out there in New Orleans, and as he's picked things up, so have the Pelicans, and they've become a lot more exciting team as the year has gone on and as he has gotten his feet underneath him. Svi Mykhailiuk is still one of the best pure shooters in the NBA, and I would imagine it figures into Detroit's long-term plans as they continue their rebuild. Thomas Bryant was having a decent year and was kind of this unique stretch five before he got hurt and unfortunately tore his, I believe, ACL. So hope he gets better. You have Mo Wagner stepping up in his absence. Ivica Zubats is playing a vital role on a title contender this year for the Clippers. And you know, that list can go on. You have David Nwaba out there as well. You have all kinds of guys who, you know, that the Lakers can pat their backs on for noticing in the draft. And even while I say all of that, and while I'm very happy for those guys, obviously I'm happy about the fact that those guys were good enough to turn into Anthony Davis in one way or another. So where the Lakers stand right now is obviously they're really excited, not just to have won their 17th championship in franchise history last season, and well positioned to win number 18 this year. Obviously, they wouldn't trade that for the world. But also, I would imagine that a lot of that draft team, the scouting department, is looking across the league and saying, "Yeah, we did that. We noticed that guy has had great talent." And obviously, you know, you have to give credit where it's due. All of those players have developed and worked on their games and turned themselves into players that they currently are. And maybe there's no guarantee that they wind up being that same player here in LA if you know they stick things out here. But at the end of the day, so long as none of those guys hold the Lakers or any Lakers fans in any kind of ill will, I think it's really cool that you can look across the NBA and across that landscape and say, yeah, the Lakers have played a pretty cool role in offering up enough talent to not just, you know, have been pretty good with the Lakers while they were here, and obviously good enough to turn into a superstar in Anthony Davis, but then have those guys go out there and perform, and not just perform, but all those guys have taken up really cool identities or had taken up really cool identities over the course of their times with whatever teams came next. D'Angelo Russell was wildly popular in Brooklyn because of the way that he played, and obviously he gets traded in that weird Kevin Durant sign and trade and goes to Golden State, and things were never really even he never really had a chance at immersing himself with that fan base given the circumstances under which he was playing. And then he goes up to Minnesota and has dealt with injury problems, and that's really kind of sucked. But again, you know, fan favorite in Brooklyn for D'Angelo Russell. Brandon Ingram is somebody that I think I would imagine is very popular down there in New Orleans. He just quietly goes about his business and loves that entire area where he's playing right now. And then Julius Randle, I would imagine is this hard-nosed big who is also skilled and really gets after it on both sides of the court and plays in this really unique way. I'm sure Knicks fans are really enjoying him so far this season. And obviously we talked about Larry Nance and other guys across the league. And I just think, you know, not only did they have immense talent that the Lakers noticed, but the Lakers have always valued character in the guys that they draft coming up. And that's why this year I don't think they felt all that comfortable buying a second rounder, because they weren't able to bring anybody in and have a man-to-man kind of conversation or an in-person conversation. And that's a big part of their scouting process. And the fact that all of these guys have gone out there across the league and been as, you know, become as popular as they have in their respective cities is really awesome to watch. Not so awesome that I would go back on the Anthony Davis trade. Don't get me wrong, but really awesome just from a I liked them while they were Lakers and I wish them nothing but the best standpoint. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete and I will be back tomorrow to react to what I hope isn't too ugly of a game against Utah, but we'll see. Pete and I will react to that following that one, and then get you guys ready for the rest of the week from there. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you.